So, hi everybody, welcome. This is Elaine Taylor-Klaus with Impact ADHD, and today we're doing an orientation call for the 2013-2014 Parent Success System, which is starting. And I want to welcome everybody. I am so excited about this program and the parents who have signed up, and it's just going to be an awesome year of coaching and learning and support and connection. And, you know, all of you have talked to us in some form or another, so you know something about Impact. But what we're going to do today is tell you specifically about this program. And what I want to start with is sort of an understanding of where it came from. Because when Diane and I started Impact ADHD, when we met each other at a CHAG conference, and we had both independently had the experience of becoming coaches and realizing what a difference it made in the lives of our families, particularly with our kids with ADHD. And so when we met each other and shared this with each other, we sort of had that, wow, we got to do something about this. This really works kind of epiphany. And that's how we started the company, or at the time we were just going to do a workshop. That was our vision. And as we started talking, we realized there was this huge need for support for parents that wasn't being met in the ADHD community. And that we had learned something that was a transferable skill. It was something that parents could actually learn and use to use this coach-like approach with their kids to improve their relationships with their kids and then to help their kids be more independent, more successful in the long term. And so our first vision was giving parents a chance to talk to each other and connect with each other. And so when we started creating the site, one of the first things we wanted to do was create a forum. Well, being the novices that we had no idea that for a forum to work online, a public forum, you actually have to have like tens of thousands of people signed on. I mean, the numbers are astronomical to get just a little bit of activity on a forum. So we tried, and that was not clearly the direction we were going to go. But we knew we wanted a way to get parents together to talk to each other and connect with each other and share and learn with each other, as well as learn coaching skills and approaches along the way. And so ultimately we came up with this idea of what we call the Coaches Club, creating a group coaching program with small groups where parents could come together to support each other and talk to each other and learn from each other, but to do it in sort of a learning environment so that there is also sort of a training component. So in this Coaches Club, in the Parent Success System, it's a coaching program, so you'll get some coaching. But it's also a training program because you're going to learn specifically how to take a coach approach with your kids. And I do believe that my partner in crime has joined us. Hi, Diane.
Hi. Sorry, I'm late. Hi, everybody. What's going on?
We've got Jean Marie, Lindsay, and Christy. And Christy has no voice.
Oh, no.
She's
Christy,
still here.
I saw your note earlier. I hope you feel better soon.
So I just invited Diane to come on and just introduce herself and say hello, just because we like to do these things together when we can. And I was explaining to everybody, Diane, you'll learn, Diane puts up with me that I do every time I do something, I do it differently. So today we were talking, I was sort of talking a little bit about the origin of Impact and how we came up with the idea for the Coaches Club.
Oh.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it is.
But sort of the idea of coming together as a group and small groups to both connect and support each other and also to learn these coaching skills that we can use with our kids. So I'm going to stop for a minute just because you're here and see what you want to share with everybody.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, I know at least two of you really, I think, pretty well. But and Christy, I know that we'll get to know each other, you know, through the process here. But I just am really glad to be getting going, and it's so exciting to be starting a new year. And I'm particularly excited about what we've created because I think that part of what those of you who were kind of in last year, you know, the feedback and the good feedback we got was that, you know, being more structured, being more systematic, you know, and the beauty in what we do is that it's structured, but it's flexible, and it's about I said this the other day on the call, it's about not so much following a formula as it is about creating a toolkit. And I think that, you know, everybody, even, you know, a month into this, and definitely by the end of the school year, will feel very confident that they've got this wonderful package of tools that they can use in virtually any situation. And I'm just really excited about what we've created and what we're going to do together over the next 9 months.
Well, and I think you just hit it on the head, which is what we're trying to do as parents, too, which is to be structured and flexible.
Yep.
Right. Like, that's, we want to create the structure, we want to be consistent, and then we need to be able to roll with what happens and ride the waves, as you might say. So, so Diane, sort of, I want to make sure that I'm covering what you were covering the other day and that we're hitting everything. So we're going to talk about today the sort of the structure of the calls and introduce the parenting action model a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else that you want to make sure I cover?
So what we did the other day was we just did we did an overview of all the features and this, and so everybody knew kind of what to expect. And then we ran like for 45 minutes, and you've got about 45 minutes left to really do an example group call, and you know, have everybody, you know, check in at the beginning. We talked about sharing their intentions as being the check-in for the week, and then you know, we went through the parenting action model and talked about the different components and how it works, and have everybody kind of then identify, you know, kind of either one challenge area or one feature within the parenting action model that they're going to focus in on for the next couple weeks before we get together again. And then at the end, make sure everybody knows kind of when the next meeting is and everything else.
Great. And everybody got a copy of the parenting action model in an email, right?
Very good question.
Yeah, that is a good question.
No, I didn't.
Nope. You know what, Elaine? I screwed up because I sent it out to the folks right before the Tuesday meeting, and I don't think I sent it to everybody, so I apologize. Do you have it there, Elaine, that you could forward it to everybody? Because I don't have it on my computer.
If you can tell me where I can find it, I do.
Did I copy you on the email on Tuesday at 11?
You did. You did. Thank you. That's it. I know exactly where to find it. I will send it to everybody.
Right. I apologize, guys. Part of the logistical thing with one of us running one group and one of us running the other is figuring out who's doing what to get them ready, so I apologize for that.
So I'm going to look it up real quick. Diane, anything else you want to make sure you share with everybody in way of introduction or introducing yourself?
No, I think that, you know, I just a little bit, because I'm not going to be on when you guys go around and tell a little bit about your story. You know, I have three kids. Two of them are mine by birth, and one of them is my stepson. All of them, I'm pretty positive, have ADHD of some sort, but only one of them is officially diagnosed, and they come in three different, completely different flavors. And, you know, my oldest is a freshman in high school. My middleist is in, well, she's not my middleist. My oldest is in high school. My youngest is a middle schooler, and then my stepson is 28, so he's got all of his grown-up plans and things going on as well, so kind of hit all age groups. And please feel free through this process. I want to encourage you to reach out. Elaine's going to talk about our Facebook group, and we're going to send you some stuff about that tomorrow, but encourage you to reach out to us directly via email, via Facebook. If you've got some things that are coming up for you in between, we're always happy to connect virtually and do what we can to support you in between the times we're together on the phone.
Cool. Thanks.
Well,
so I am I am unable to find the action model, so if you will send me the email, then I will forward it out to the people on the call.
Okay. Can you dance without it?
I can absolutely dance without it.
Okay.
And we will make sure that everybody sees it by the time we send a follow-up email. Okay?
Great. Well, have a great call, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks, Diane. Bye.
Bye. Okay, me again. So catching up on where I was, I want to – so So I was sort of explaining what we're trying to do with the Coaches Club, and a couple of you have been in it before. What we realized we needed to do, and based on your input, as Diane said, was to really up-level it and structure it a little bit better and tighter. So here's what the parent success system is going to look like this year. First of all, we have calls twice a month. You will have a designated group that you're part of. To the extent that we can, we've tried to match your group, the time that you were available, with kids with roughly the same age group. There are some variations, and there is one group that meets on Thursday nights that's a general group because that's when the parents were available. And as more people come into the program, if we need to shift some things around, we can do that. But so you'll have a call twice a month. From now to the end of the year, it roughly works out to every other week, which is great, but some months that doesn't work that way. And on that call, as Diane said, we're going to do a little sample of that, but on that call, we'll each have an opportunity to talk about what's going on with you at that time so that you can identify a challenge area that you're working with. And then we'll introduce a coaching tool or strategy for you to practice with a little bit. So, you know, a couple of people will probably get a little coaching on the call, people who volunteer or step up for it. And then at the end of the call, we've got a four-step process we take you through. So you'll leave with an action plan. And then, as Diane said, when you come into the next call, we'll start with the accountability, the check-in with what happened, how did that go, before we move into the next topic. So that's what I mean by it's part coaching and part training. There's a little bit of both that's happening. And as we're not training parents to become coaches, but we are training parents to take coaching skills and apply them and use them in their parenting. And it's really very powerful, very effective. And so that's the sort of the linchpin of the whole program. The other part that we're really excited about, remember I said that, you know, when you create a public forum, you have to have tens of thousands of people to populate it. Well, here we can create a private forum, and we're going to do it via Facebook, and we'll invite you to do that, where you can, if you like us on Facebook, either Diane or me, it'll make it easier, but either way, we will send you an invitation to link to this group. And it gives us a way to have a dynamic forum of parents who are interacting with each other. All of you are parents who are conscious and engaged and learning to take a coach approach with your kids. So you're all either in group coaching or private coaching. And it's going to be all ages. The kids will be all ages. But this forum gives us a place to talk to each other and encourage each other and advise each other and coach each other in a really dynamic way. And I've had some experience with a business group that I'm a part of with a forum like this, and it has been invaluable to have that group to just, I just know that these people have always got my back. And so this Facebook group will enable us to do the same thing. You guys have each other's back, you support each other, you talk to each other, so we encourage you to bookmark it and set up the group or whatever you do to check in with that group and to make sure that the emails come to you. But it's a place for you to pose questions, celebrate your successes, submit challenges. If you're trying something and it's not working, get input, get advice and comments from your peers, because they're in the same place you are. We're all just trying to do a better job every day of being the conscious parents that we are. So I'm so thrilled about this group. I think it's what we've been wanting to create, and it's just taken us a while to figure out how to do it in a way that's really conscious and deliberate. And then in addition to that, so we encourage you to use that on a regular basis. You know, we might encourage people to post homework there, and seriously, we want you to post successes there. If something great happens as a parent, you get a parenting paycheck, as we call it, you know, when your kid says, thanks, I love you, Mommy. Because of something that happened, that's a great place to celebrate it, to just share it, because, you know, sometimes you just want to scream from the rooftops and there's nobody to listen. So really encourage you to use that. Then in addition to that, you all have both mine and Diane's email addresses. You're welcome to reach out to us privately whenever you've got something going on that you feel like you'd like some input on. Although if you pose it to, we would prefer that you pose it to the group when possible on the Facebook page. And if you want us to respond, then just tag us, tag at Elaine or tag at Diane. And we'll see that you're looking for it, and we'll make sure to respond. But when it's appropriate for you to post it publicly, everybody else gets the opportunity, the benefit of learning from it. So whenever possible, we would encourage you to do that. And then we're finalizing the notebook for the year, which we will send you, and that'll be something for you to download. And we would definitely encourage you to, you know, print them out. If you're a visual person, print them out, put them in a notebook, you know, put three hole punches on it or something, and create a little workbook journal for you for the year so that each topic we're going to cover is going to be on the workbook, and you'll be able to sort of follow along. And there will be a little bit of information on each of the pages, and then an opportunity for you to capture what your challenges are and what you're working on. What else? There was one other thing I wanted to mention. Got the workbook, got the email. Something else will come up. But that basically captures the program. Before we go on, any questions?
I don't have any.
Okay. You know, and this program, you'll get as much of it as you put from it as you put into it. I know what I was going to say. We will be recording calls, so you can always come back and listen if you can't make a call. But we really strongly encourage you to put the calls on the calendar and attend whenever possible. What I like about this structure is that it gives you a format to say, these are the 2 hours a month that no matter what else, I'm paying attention to what I'm doing as a parent to my ADD child. And it really creates a lovely structure for you to work around to really give your child that time. And so, you know, if it's hard to fit in, if you're starting to see life gets busy, remember that this is not just for you, that this is your gift to your child of really paying attention to how to help him or her be more and more successful and more independent. So however you need to self-talk your way into it, please try to make the time whenever you can to be on the call. You'll get a lot more from it. But again, they are recorded. They'll be available online. And you can always access it that way. The other feature that comes with this program is access to all aspects of the web page, of the website. There is a login for members that if you haven't received it yet, you will receive it. And it'll be something simple like your password will be something like PSS 2013, the Parent Success System. But it's designed to give you access to everything on the website. So all of the webinars we've done, all the videos, anything that's not available to the general public is going to be available to you. And we really encourage you to use it. When we cover a topic, we will probably identify areas for further education. And so there will be times where we'll say, go listen to this webinar that this expert did or that we did, or go read these particular articles. So we want to, the articles are public and available to everybody, of course, but the webinars are only available to members, and we want to encourage you to use it because we've got some amazing stuff. We've had some incredible experts doing some webinars for us. And I think that captures it. So, well, not last call, but next call for any other questions about the features of the program. Anything you should expect or wonder about or any of that.
So the parenting action model is something you're going to send us, and we're going to refer to it, or it's something you were going to talk with us about each call.
I'm going to tell you about it now. That's what we're going to talk about today. So, yes, we're going to send it to you, and the parenting action model, so if you can hold it for a minute, I want to let everybody fill us in a little bit about where you are, and then I'm going to introduce the parenting action model. Is that good?
Sure.
Cool. Okay. So, So let's just check in, and we got a small group, so everybody except for Christy can talk, and Christy, you can whisper if you wish, or if you feel like it's straining your voice and you want to pass, that's fine too. But I just want everybody to check in real quick and just give us, you know, a little bit of your name, rank, and serial number. You know, who are your kids? What are you bringing to this call today, and is there a challenge you're dealing with right now that you'd like to talk about? So, Jean Marie or Lindsay, I'd love for one of you two to go first.
Okay.
This is Lindsay. I can start, Elaine, if you want.
That'd be great, Lindsay.
Go ahead,
thanks.
I'm here in Nashville, Tennessee. I have a just recently turned 8-year-old daughter named Sydney. And I guess I had participated in the Impact ADHD coaching sessions with other parents of elementary age children for, I don't even know exactly how long, maybe close to a year. Not sure if it was quite that long. But in the past, so I have kind of shared my story with Elaine and Diane and a couple of other folks who had joined those meetings previously and found them very helpful. We've been working, I guess, to identify officially and diagnose Sydney with the ADHD for quite some time. It was suspected that she probably had ADHD and possibly oppositional defiant disorder from the time she was about 2. What we thought were just kind of the normal terrible 2s that people coined them turned into, you know, years of real difficulty in dealing with her frustration tolerance or lack thereof and that kind of thing. So it's just been kind of a long journey now the past few years, going from physician to physician and different psychologists and such, and this has really been the first opportunity for me to engage in some peer group kind of parental discussion and real coaching as opposed to someone focusing really on the problems or challenges associated with my daughter's condition and addressing them through her. So it's been very helpful to me.
Great. Thank you.
Sure.
And that's exactly what it's about. It's like, you know, taking that time to focus on yourself and not just on her. Ultimately, it's all about her. But it's just a different vehicle to get there. Maybe not all about her.
Right.
So what kind of challenge are you dealing with right now? What's something that you'd like to see changed?
You know, I struggle a lot with, and this is probably a recurrent theme of mine. I may have said this on virtually every call I've been on, but really within myself, differentiating between what is more of an ADHD-associated kind of symptom, if you will, in terms of her behavior, as opposed to general kind of acts of defiance. And, you know, sometimes it's clear to me that maybe her frustration tolerance is way down because she's overly tired, or it's a brain health issue because she hasn't eaten and she's hungry, you know, and just general things, or she hasn't had an outlet for her energy, that kind of thing. But then there are other times when I'm like, well, you know, I just sat there and told her she could not go ride her scooter at 8:30 at night. And there she is cruising around in the dark in my cul-de-sac on a scooter, wearing no helmet and being totally defiant. And, you know, it kind of comes back to me a lot of times with this, but you didn't say not to do it right now, kind of a thing. So I still grapple with that a whole heck of a lot. You know, fundamentally, she's not at all a bad kid, but we're just dealing with a lot of those issues of me thinking, well, wait a minute, I just said no, and here's why, and there she goes and does it. So
well,
it's a really big issue.
The other thing I heard in what you just said is that, you know, these kids often, the nuance of language, right?
Yes, yes, exactly.
They take things so literally.
Very much
it. That may not be exactly what we meant.
Right. You know, I've told her 50 times before, you don't ride around in the dark without a helmet on your scooter. But, you know, her interpreting something a certain way, or it being that her ADHD brain has just kind of moved on to something else, and just the fact that impulsively she wants to do that, she literally either doesn't hear me or it doesn't process, wait a minute, I just said don't do it. So I really grapple a lot with that and not knowing then how to implement appropriate consequences or really kind of what the next course of action should be. Should it be punitive? Should it be more kind of instructional, you know, or should it be a combination thereof of reactions?
Okay. Okay, so constantly sort of assessing how do I respond based on what's her motivation for the behavior?
Yes, yeah.
Great, okay. Thanks, okay.
Sure.
Who else? And let me just tell you guys, I found the parenting action model, the email that Diane was talking about, so I am sending it to the three of you now.
Great.
And I am proud of myself for finding it.
Just
have that moment of celebration. Okay. Somebody else besides Lindsay. Jean Marie?
Sure. I have an 11-year-old daughter named Carly. She was diagnosed in second grade, I think it was, and it was a pretty straightforward diagnosis. She's much more inattentive than hyperactive, but she has a moderate diagnosis for both. I can relate to the ODD that you're talking about with your daughter, Sydney, because I think we certainly have a lot of that going on, but again, not formally diagnosed. We just came through the summer with no medication, first time we've ever just not medicated entirely, and it actually ended up turning out a little better than I expected. And we just started middle school, so she's in sixth grade, and that's a big deal because we've got six classes and all kinds of organizational things going on. And I, too, suspect I'm ADHD and have sort of been, diagnosed by my doctor in a secondhand way they do it these days, but not, you know, the big testing and everything. And so I have a lot of the same emotionality and impulsivity issues that Carly has. And so that's where I get stuck a lot. Because I get wrapped up in all her drama and drawn into all of it. And I obviously do best when I'm standing aside and being the parent and trying to help her control her feelings and impulses. So mainly I'm concerned about getting school organized and me helping her be successful with that.
Great. So I really want to focus on sort of getting systems in place for the school year.
Right.
Organization in place.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. And Christy, it's really up to you. If you don't feel like now is a good time to introduce yourself, we can do it another time if you decide.
Can you hear me at all?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, but Christy, I don't want you to hurt your voice, so keep it simple.
Well, it's getting better, so this is actually better. Yesterday you couldn't have heard a single word.
Okay.
I have a 9-year-old son with ADHD. We have just gone through lots of neuropsych testing because they were also suspecting Asperger's, but they have ruled that out completely, and they actually think now that he may have depression with an underlying psychosis. He kind of lives in his own world. What we think was just habitual, constant lying may actually be what he thinks is reality, is what we're just now finding out. So we're in the process of that, yeah. So I actually take him this afternoon for a follow-up on that to kind of see a little more of what they think, and then we are going to a psychiatrist for the first time next month. So that's kind of all new right now, so that's where we are. And my husband also has ADHD. So that's challenging.
Wow, wait. So, and you haven't worked with a psychiatrist yet?
No, we have not. We just always used our pediatrician and the counselor.
Wow.
And we just recently relocated more to a metropolitan area. So that's why I've now been able to seek out more help with more specialties. We didn't have that available really before where we were.
Got it. So can I just say, and this is going to be strange, but yay, congratulations.
Yeah, I'm ready to get some help and get on the right path.
Yeah, well, and you know, the more you understand what's going on with him, the better you'll be able to help him.
Yeah.
And the place that really, that I struggle with the most is when parents don't want to know, or they don't want to call it what it is because they don't want to label, right?
Yeah.
But it's not about labeling, it's about understanding.
Yes.
And when we really
I actually felt relieved.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Because
you had to feel like you were going crazy.
Definitely.
You know?
For years. This has been
years
as well, yeah.
So,
Elaine,
really,
this is Lindsay.
Yeah.
May I ask a question of Christy?
Of course.
I was just curious to know what type of neuropsychological testing you all did, because this lying issue is something I really wrestle with quite a bit as well, and am not myself 100% convinced that with what I'm dealing with my daughter is all of the picture. So I was just curious to know if she might share a little bit about the testing that they did.
Yes, I don't know in detail, but he was there for an entire day and could not complete it because of his attention. And we'd take him back a second day for 2 more hours. They sent me and my husband home with 3 different battery of tests, which were just questionnaires that we filled out. The big one was on executive brain function, which was obvious to ADHD. He was severe in every category. Another one was on Asperger's because that had been brought up, so they wanted to look at that more in depth. And then the other one was, it's called the BASC, B-A-S-C, to some basic activities of daily living type thing.
Okay. They weren't physical tests. They were actually more surveys and questionnaire kind of based.
That was my part. But when he was in the office, I mean, they did all day long, all kinds of different tests. And one was an IQ test they started with. And then there was some computer testing with different images where they were testing his attention. And then his ability to think abstractly and complex steps and all kinds of stuff. I honestly don't know what all they did. It was a whole day.
So, Christy, I want to save your voice a little bit to jump in for a second. Lindsay, I mean, what she's talking about is it's a classic battery of tests that's done in a neuropsychiatric evaluation or psychological evaluation.
Sydney's had a lot of those types of tests done, but it wasn't by necessarily one particular person. She's been to Brain Balancer. She's been to the neurologist. She's been to psychologists. The only route we have not really was this psychiatrist 100%. So.
Now, this is not done by a psychiatrist. This is actually done by a psychologist, and usually it's done by a psychologist who is a specialist in neuropsychology.
Yeah, we've seen several psychologists, but not necessarily one that specializes in neuropsychology. So I was curious, and I really thank you for rating.
You can ask, because what you'll find is that some of the psychologists who do generalized testing also include a bunch of the more neurological tests in their standard testing. So all of the psychologists will do some screening, but then there are some psychologists who really specialize in this area and do some more additional stuff. There are a couple of articles on the site. Some of the PhDs and PsyDs on the site have written about what to look for in testing, psychoeducational testing, that kind of thing. So look up some stuff on the site to read about it. And if you have any, once you find out what kind of testing you've done, and you'll see, and if you want help figuring out whether there's something more for you to do, we'll help you with that. I'll help you with that.
Thank you very much.
What I have found is that, you know, the first phase, not all kids need to go through a full battery of psychoeducational testing. It's expensive. It puts them through, you know, it's a lot. But if you got a diagnosis like ADHD or anxiety, whatever, and it's not explaining everything, if it's not still making sense, then you want to rule out other neurological issues, learning disabilities, et cetera. And so that's when, and I've done it with two out of three of my kids have had neuropsychs. And in fact, we were in the middle of a neuropsych with my oldest child when I was trying to answer those parent questionnaires you're talking about, Christy. And we had taken her off of gluten in the middle. And the answers, I realized, to my questions were so different from when I had answered them before versus after, that our psychologist actually scaled them separately. And we were able to see what happened to her, like have actual evidence of what happened when we took her off of gluten. And she went from, like, off the charts emotional lability to within the range of normal in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really amazing. So it's a great article about in the health. In the health resources section of the site, if you scroll down to the bottom of that page, there are a couple of articles that are like, I don't know, Elaine's gluten articles or something. And it's a great story. It's worth reading it because she was around 8 or 9 when this was going on. And it, you know, it's not a panacea for everybody, but if it is, it can change your life. Like,
wow.
it's really dramatic. But the point is that most psychologists can do most of the testing, and then there's a specialist area. And if you're still feeling like it's not something, you've got that mom's instinct that you still haven't quite hit it, sometimes it's worth that additional focus. So, Christy, what would you say is your sort of challenge area right now? What are you focusing on?
Well, the lying, that has just been, I mean, driving us crazy lately.
Say it again, the light?
The lying.
The lying,
not telling
okay.
the truth, yeah.
Okay.
Has just escalated. It's gotten worse over the last year. So that has just been really hard to deal with. In every situation, because it's at school, it's in social settings, it's everywhere.
Right.
So it's really hard.
Yeah, it sounds like it is, and it sounds like it's you're not alone in it. Like, you know, it's Lindsay, you're dealing with it as well. It's the age where it's happening. Just a couple of thoughts on it. Before I introduce the action model, one is like what we were saying about the helmet and the riding at night. Sometimes our kids can be really black and white and really literal. And so when they're being so linear in that way, what sounds like lying to us or when they hear something differently is really them just taking it exactly at its word. It's not understanding nuance. So that's a place to look to see when that's happening. The other thing that I've noticed a lot with kids, particularly around the ages of these kids, is that these kids are tired of being redirected. They are getting redirected consistently throughout their day by parents, by teachers, by siblings, by friends, because they're always doing something wrong. They're always making a mistake. They're always missing a social cue. They're, you know. And so, you know, we know that we're supposed to try to be giving everybody, you know, 5-to-1 positive reinforcement. And they probably get 10-to-1 negative. So one of the things I also see happening with the lying is that sometimes they start to get into this defensive mode because they're just tired of always being wrong. So they begin this process of constantly coming up with an excuse for why they're not wrong. And it's sort of a natural defensive process. It's almost like a self-protection. Is this resonating for anybody?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, for me, it really is.
Okay. So that's another place I just want you to pay attention, because what I found with my kids is that they were constantly making excuses. And I realized that it's because they didn't want to be wrong. And
yeah.
So I started focusing on taking responsibility for your actions and not letting them be wrong for it, and really focusing on failing forward and celebrate. You know, like there's one article on the site about what did we fail at? What did you fail at today? You know, and teaching the kids to fail and failing in front of them and making mistakes and owning them and creating an environment where failure wasn't the same as wrong, where mistakes weren't wrong. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
In fact, in our house, we have a mistakes jar, and right next to it, we have a hugs and kisses jar. Right? Because they're wrong all the time, and they're tired of it.
Yeah,
I can see that.
They're trying to make themselves right. So it's not that they're not lying, because they are, but they're really, if you shift that perspective a little bit to realize they're trying to make themselves right, then...
They're worn out.
Yeah. So just play with that a little bit and see how that perspective helps as you face it when that happens. And it's going to take years to shift the thinking, okay, because it's ingrained. And if you'll begin to notice, adults do it all the time. We make excuses for why we're late, right? Oh, I was behind this garbage truck, when the truth is we didn't leave enough time to get there in the first place, right?
Yeah.
Just tell them I said, right? We do it all the time, the little white lies.
Yep.
And we don't really realize that that's what we're modeling for them. But we're modeling that it's okay to make excuses. So one of the plays to shift that for parents is to stop making excuses and start owning every little tiny mistake you make and be just matter-of-fact about it.
Thanks for that,
yeah.
Yeah. Try it out.
I'll tell you a story. I knew that I had come some distance in this realm because my oldest daughter was very much like y'all are describing, really just everything, an excuse for everything and an answer for everything. And when she was about 17, she was living in this 18, I guess, apartment complex out in California, and she was with a group of kids, and they were outside at night playing, you know, pine cone tag or something, I don't know. It's very wholesome, innocent activity. And she picked up a pine cone and accidentally went through a window, an apartment window.
Mm-mm.
And all the kids scattered. And instead of running, she went up to the apartment and rang the doorbell and said, "I'm really sorry I broke your window. Can I help clean it up?"
Wow.
And, I mean, and she told me the story. When she came back, she called, she told us the story, and I'm, like, crying. And it's not because she broke the window, but it's because she owned it.
Absolutely.
You know? And I was so proud of her for that.
Mm-hmm.
As she did that, all the other kids stopped dispersing, and they came back, and some of them walked with her. Some of them disappeared. But so she was showing leadership to other kids. And she sort of showed me that she had learned that when you make mistakes, you just handle it, you know? So
right.
that's what you're looking for. I call it the pine cone incident, right? But understand, she was 17 or 18 when that happened. You know, so it takes time for them to get through and understand and learn this lesson. And you're catching them really early. So you have time to teach it, okay? So I sent, is anybody or any of you guys in front of your email or in front of your
I got it.
Near it? Okay, so I sent an email with a parenting action model. And if you can pull it up, that's great. And so what I want to introduce today, and at least to, maybe you've all seen this, maybe you haven't. The first time we really introduced this was in the Minimize Meltdowns program. But what we realize is this parenting action model really is, it's a change model. It's how you create change in almost any aspect of your life. So I just want to introduce it and go through it with you quickly here today, and then this is for you to sort of play with in the next couple of weeks. This is the model we're using for the whole program. This is the overarching way that we're going to approach every frustration, every challenge, every problem, is to continuously filter it through the action model. So the first step in the action model is to take aim, and that's to get, like we're doing here today, to get clear on what's the challenge I'm trying to address, right? And sometimes it's going to be an overarching issue like lying, and sometimes it's going to be a micro issue like got to get the kid up in the morning, right? But so when you take aim, you get clear on what you're trying to address, it makes it a lot more possible to actually address it, to do something with it. Has somebody just joined us?
I think that was a computer.
Did you drop off for a minute?
I did, yes.
Okay. So I'm not sure what you mentioned, but I was talking about, do you have the parenting action model in front of you?
I don't. That's what I was trying to get to, and it disconnected my call, so I'll just wait.
Oh, no. Okay, so I can talk you through it, and when you see the model later, it'll make sense. It's not a complex model, I promise you.
Okay.
So step one is to take aim. Get really clear on what you're focusing on in the first place. What do you want to see changed, right? Step two is educate. And that's education or information. What do you need to know about the situation? So, for example, yes, the issue is lying, but we just did some education around what happens when kids start making excuses and get defensive, gathered some information. You got some information, Christy, around, this potential way that your child is approaching it and maybe that is his reality. Those are ways of gathering information. So educating yourself on to the extent that you can around the topic that's happening in the first place. Using the site is a great way to do that. Listening and watching some of the old webinars is a great way to do that once you've identified the topic. Right? Step three is to plan. And planning is where we talk about the different strategies. So in the work that we do, we've identified six key challenge areas that parents are facing when they're dealing with ADHD in the home and all of the other issues that come along with the ADD in the home, right? So they are emotionality and impulsivity, school and education related challenges, the logistics, managing the logistics of life, relationships, impact on the parents, and organization. Those are the six places that we see that we are all impacted to some extent or another by ADD. And so we're in the process of developing different courses to help focus on each of those six areas. That's what Minimize Meltdowns is, the one for emotionality. The next one we're developing is called Homework Headaches. That's for school challenges, right? So those are the six key areas. And it helps sometimes to see when we're identifying our challenge, where is it showing up? So the lying, for example, where do you see the lying showing up?
Sorry, are you talking to me?
To all of you. When you're dealing, because all of you are dealing to some extent or another with this issue of lying. Is it a school challenge?
For me, it's in every aspect of his life. Career,
right.
Yeah.
School, social,
right.
Everywhere.
Right.
I would say so as well.
But
it seems to be emotionality for my daughter and not wanting, like you said, not wanting to be wrong and being fearful.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it helps to sort of pinpoint where is it really showing up so that you can get more clear about how do you want to address it, right? The more focused you can get in on, okay, yes, lying is an issue, but that's a big general issue. Where is it showing up that it's really causing a problem? Well, it may be that it's causing tantrums, or it may be that he's lying to the teacher, or it may be that it's interfering with relationships with the siblings, right? So if you can hone in on it a little bit, it helps you get more specific about how do you want to address it. Now, the other part of the model in this planning section is what we call the four critical response areas. And at some point, I know you don't have this in front of you, Christy, but when you see it's in easy to see blocks, I do recommend printing these out and having this in front of you because we're going to use these four a lot. This is what we see as the four key strategic areas that you can use for managing almost any challenge that comes to you with ADD and almost any other issue, frankly, that you're dealing with your kids. And the four critical responses are, one is activate the brain. And for us, that could mean medication. It could also mean nutrition or exercise or sleep or brain training or CogMed or, anything that's about paying attention to what the process is in the brain and adjusting that to change the outcome. So that's activate the brain. Parenting positively, which is something that a lot of our parents, I think, generally have already. Even if you're having a hard time keeping your cool, you understand that you want to, for the most part. But finding there's and it's more than just keeping your cool, but parenting positively is about using the positive reinforcement, acknowledging the kids, keeping calm, those kinds of things. Shifting expectations is a huge, huge area for most of us. It's not about lowering them. It's about modifying or shifting them to what's appropriate for our kids where they are now. You know, most of our kids are 8, 9, or 10 going on maybe 5, 6, or 7, right? So, or 11, you know, going on 7 probably. And so we want to shift our expectations to set them up for success. We don't want to expect a 10-year-old to be functioning like a 10-year-old if really at this point developmentally he's really more like a 7-year-old. So we want to shift how we approach what we're asking for from them and how we're setting them up for success based on where they really are, not where we would want them to be or where their same age peers are. Any questions about that one? Okay.
No.
Well, it'll come up again. Go ahead.
I want to thank you. I've got to go clock back in for work at 1 o'clock, so I have to hang up.
Okay. The call is being recorded, and we're about to get off, but, you know, listen to the last few minutes, and we will see you in the next call. All right? And we'll see you on the Facebook.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here. And so the last one is systems and structures. That's about putting consistent structures in place but allowing them to be flexible, right? So it's sort of where we take all of those other things and figure out which systems do we want to use. And all of that we put in the planning phase because we think before you take action, you want to get really clear on what's going on, what are your options, and then what do you want to do about it. So step 4 in the action model is take action, but it comes after you've really done some exploration about which area you want to choose. And then step 5 is rinse and repeat because you're just going to do it again, either with the same issue or with another issue, but the same process is what you want to use as you approach trying to create change in any given area. And then the 6th category, if you will, that we all of this comes in self-care. And you know, you guys both know that we've talked about this a lot. We really, really believe in parent self-care and the value of taking care of ourselves and modeling that for our children, but also doing that so that we can be the best parents we can be for our kids. So that's the parenting action model. And what I want to ask each of you to do before we get off the call today is to just look at understanding that model and looking at the issue that you brought at the beginning of the day. How can this model help you address the challenge area that you're focusing on right now?
Can I respond?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so I'm talking about systems and structures, right, in terms of getting organized for the school year?
Right.
So that's my challenge, right? But, I mean, that's what I want to use to solve my challenge or to help with my challenge.
Right. So what you're identifying is that what you're really talking about is a structure. But right. So what's the challenge? What are you really taking aim at?
Getting me organized so that we have getting us both under a structure that will work and is fits into our life and we have time to do each day and you know, we succeed at completing our task.
And that's great. So what I heard in there was some self-care, you know, making sure it works for you so that you're actually going to be successful with it and not stressed out by it.
Right.
I heard focus on you, so really understanding what part of it that you're playing, that education piece. And what would you say you're taking aim on? What's the actual area of focus?
Helping her feel successful and not overwhelmed by the schedule because there's a lot going on. And I can help a lot because Yeah.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say they have a great website, so I can cue in on all the teachers' websites. They post grades, they post assignments, so I can really have a great understanding of what needs to get done, you know, but I just want to be able to help her understand what needs to get done and follow through and, you know, do the best we can and understand that we're not going to always be perfect, and that's okay. That's completely
right.
All right.
So what you're really, the goal here is for her to feel comfortable and confident in school.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because she's sort of an anxiety kid too. And this
yep.
is, you know, middle school has really picked up the anxiety aspect.
Yeah, yeah. So we're gonna have sort of a calm, comfortable, confident approach to school.
Right.
Okay. And you're going to do that by understanding what you need to know and using some systems and structures and doing it sort of really with an awareness of self-care.
Right.
Great. Cool. Lindsay, anything for you?
I'm still struggling again with the whole issue of the following directions that seems to permeate a lot of life with me and Sydney. But maybe, again, part of what I can do is look at it more from this aspect of, you know, am I being clear, like you said, in the approach to it and being very specific and being more focused on kind of other things that are going on at the time. You know, am I on the move? Am I getting out of the car and not clearly kind of getting her attention when I'm giving a direction about or an expectation about what it is that I want her to do or not to do, and focusing more on how I can help to improve that process to activate her brain in a way. Because, you know, if I'm getting out of the car when I'm giving the directive and she's already thinking about, well, I want to go ride my scooter, obviously her brain and the way that hyper-focus of the ADHD mind and the impulsivity of I just want to do this is already kicked in. So it's not really kind of setting myself up for success or being effective knowing how her brain works. So,
right.
And I don't think that's unique to just ADHD kids, but I think it's definitely more of a challenge with ADHD kids.
Right.
So
you,
I guess in part that's shifting the expectation.
Mm-hmm. And then and recognizing that for her to follow through on something, she's got to activate the brain.
Yes, and be very, very clear on what it is that I'm actually asking her to do. And
do you know Get It, Got It Good? There's a video on the site.
No, I mean, I can imagine, but I'm not really familiar with that, no.
So there's a video on the site called Get It, Got It Good. And the idea is that when you make a direction, when you give a direction that you say, get it, and then and you have to do this in advance so that she knows she's part of it. And then her job is to say, got it, and to tell you back what she heard.
Oh, okay.
And give you a chance to either reframe it if she didn't hear exactly what you meant for her to hear, or to say, good, great, go for it.
To almost make it kind of into a game or something, you know, that we're tag teaming it on.
Can you get it? Can you unload the dishwasher before dinner? Get it? Got it. You want me to have it done by 5 o'clock. You want me to have the dishwasher unloaded and put away, and all the stuff put away by 5 o'clock. Good, right? Or, got it, I'll undo the dishwasher. If he were to say that, my response would be, by when?
Yeah.
Right, so that I'm really sure that he has said back to me, and as you say, you want to make sure you've got her attention first, and this helps get her attention.
Yeah, I like that qualifying with the time frame, because we constantly are going back and forth with, I think, the most famous phrase in my house, in a minute, 1 minute, 1 minute, and it turns into 10 minutes and turns into 20 minutes, and things never get done.
Right, and sometimes I'll say, now, is that a 30-second in a minute, or is that a 10-minute in a minute?
Yeah, right.
Right? But, yeah, sometimes you want to be really, really specific. So we're going to wrap up for today. Any other questions or anything else you guys want to bring up before we close? No, we always end with the same. Go ahead.
I just said I think I'm okay.
Good. Okay. So we always close with the same four questions. What do you feel like you focused on today? What clarity do you have? What action do you want to take? And how can you set yourself up for success? So I just want to give you each a chance to just identify what action you want to take or you want to commit to. And if it's just, you know, spending some time on the site or with the action model in the next couple of weeks before we get started, that's great, whatever you want to do.
I would like to try and do that in a more concerted way with this, following through with the following directions. Maybe try a few kind of tried and true where we've had instances of challenge and run them through that model and just implementing some of those techniques and try and see if I can make some headway.
Great. Okay. So being specific with the using the model and said being really clear on making requests.
Yes.
Okay.
And when you say use the model, are you talking about the response areas or just the plan, act, rinse, and repeat model?
You talking to Lindsay or me?
You.
Okay.
Elaine, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Whatever you want from it. I mean, really, it's about these are some tools for you to use to begin to sort of run all of the challenges you have through this framework, through this rubric, right?
Okay.
And so sometimes it may be identifying this, you know, but how am I responding? Is this an activate the brain? Is she hungry? Is this shifting expectation? Am I setting her up for success, right? Is this a system issue? And sometimes it's going back to the beginning and saying, okay, what am I really focusing on right now? What do I really need to get clear about?
The action step is where I always kind of fall down, and so I think that's my ADD kicking in. But I get the first three. It's the systems and structures part where I kind of start to fall apart. But I have gone on the website and printed out, you know, assignments for the next couple of weeks, and I want to try to get some sort of a, you know, calendar or just a board or something where we can each go to look and see what we need to focus on for that afternoon's homework session and, you know, go from there, I guess.
Right. So that'd be my challenge to you is to get exactly that. So your homework is to get a clear sort of how are we going to do this system for how do we figure out what she needs to do in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And where are we going to write it down? And my suggestion for you is the next step, once you get clear on what needs to be done, is to try to get teacher to begin to estimate time and prioritize.
Right. I know from, executive brain functioning of ADHD people, we have a hard time managing time. Yeah.
Terribly hard. So get her to estimate, even if she's totally wrong, just to begin to get her to start thinking in terms of, well, I think it's going to take half an hour. You know, my son tells me everything's going to take 5 minutes, right?
Right.
And then it's like, really? That? Did you notice that took you 45 minutes? You know?
Okay. Yep.
So beginning to raise that awareness for her.
Okay. Right. Great.
All right. Welcome back, everybody.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
We are thrilled to have you and looking forward to a great year. And, you know, I encourage you to start using the forum. And as I said, we're available on email. If you need us, let us know. And you'll get some information from us. We'll be communicating with you probably every Monday with either a reminder of this is what we talked about last week or this is when your call is this week. Okay?
Great. Sounds very good. Thank you again. Have a great day.
Have a great week, everyone. Take care.
Right. Thanks, Elaine.
Bye.
Bye-bye.